You're not welcome here, and you're not welcome in a lot of other places based on your videos.
You don't own this place. You don't own America.
No, you should move on. Nobody wants you here. Please move out.
Tyler, it seems like people discovered that anti-Semitism is lucrative, no?
So Pat obviously thought that we should pay for their money, so why don't you move to a different country? So
why don't you go back to Israel? That would be my question.
I got like public safety. Yeah. I'd say 150 calls about you already.
What are they calling about?
People trying to live a quiet life.
You two gentlemen, I saw a video of you walking into 136 Hillside. Mm-hmm. They asked not
Fair
to
enough.
Come back.
Amazing.
If you come back, it'll be a trespassing charge.
So you say anti-Semitism, I say anti-Goyism.
The Jewish community is extremely racist.
You have a group of people that call themselves God's people. You are a Semite supremacist.
Elon Musk has 12 kids. Why can't I have 12 kids?
He pays for them. You're arguing that I should pay for your kids.
I'm arguing that the government's in.
That's our money. I pay taxes.
Excuse me, sir. What are you doing? Can I call the cops on you? Okay, that's
it. We may be in a corrupt hellhole.
So what am I being pulled over for?
We got a call.
Keep your hands on the steering wheel when we do so.
This is Lakewood, New Jersey, home to one of the largest and fastest growing Orthodox Jewish communities in America, having anywhere from 6 to 10 kids per family, causing the community's rapid growth to spill into the neighboring towns of Jackson, Toms River, Brick, and Howe, causing non-Jewish residents to fear that their town will soon be turned into Little Jerusalem, just like Lakewood.
The tactics within this community, I would liken it to organized crime.
You were the vice chairman of the Israel Advisory Committee for Donald Trump in 2016. How did you get a relationship with the White House? Who in the White House?
I don't want to say.
Who are we messing with here right now, Chris? Is this video a mistake, man?
I'm going to be honest. The powers out here are pretty immense.
It's not about Jackson. Jackson is a test case. If it isn't squashed soon, it's going to take over the entire country.
It's already a problem in all the surrounding towns. You have billionaires from Lakewood being involved. People connect it to the president of the United States.
In New Jersey, is there room for a two-state solution?
No, there's clearly not. I think it's going to be a fight.
I ride around Lakewood. There are near Lakewood, outside of Lakewood,
and all these towns around Lakewood, there are housing developments. Where Goyim lived, there are no Yidden there yet, but all these housing developments, someone who... They could turn it around. We saw what happened in Lakewood itself. There are a lot of other opportunities if people want to take that jump and become a shtickle pioneer.
As the Orthodox Jewish community consolidated political power in Lakewood, taking majority control of the township committee, planning board, zoning board, and school board, financially depleting the public school system for non-Jewish kids, overwhelming local infrastructure, and turning a once quiet town into a densely populated, over-trafficked Jewish enclave prioritizing Jews over non-Jews. Before I investigate the Jewish takeover of Lakewood and of the nearby town of Jackson, I first want to visit the town where the blueprint was born, Muncie, New York.
Someone like David Baden saw the opportunity a few years ago. He bought several 50 to 100 houses in Muncie. I believe that he single-handedly, in a certain way, turned around Muncie. These are opportunities that come up every once in a while, and someone has to step up to the plate.
Millen News, thanks for meeting up on such short notice, man.
My Muncelandians know we here. We outside.
Yeah. When did you notice Muncie begin to form as a Hasidic Jewish enclave?
I would say 20 years ago, okay. I saw the first start of it, and then every year, it just started to grow exponentially.
Okay. Hey!
Different
Tyler, stop.
It's me. How are you? Stop what?
They on Tyler. Yo, they on Tyler.
Said, Tyler, stop.
But the Jews here were not happy to see me after I asked how they afford 7 to 10 kids on a single income and if they were on welfare in Kiryas Joel.
How many kids do most people have out here?
17, 18.
How do they afford 17, 18 kids?
They are proud to do what the Torah says, that you need to be multiple and fruitful.
How do you afford to study the Torah, though?
God, help me.
Does the American taxpayer help you, too?
Also, yes.
How do people afford to have such big families out here?
It's...
I'm not saying anything.
Are you Tyler?
I'm Tyler.
Are you trying to... another anti-Semitism video?
How did I spread anti-Semitism? That's crazy you said that. Life circumstance, different culture. So this is their way of, like, listen, I know you're frustrated about what some of the things we focused on. Is that kind of what I'm getting at?
Sure.
So give me some examples of how things were misconstrued. Yeah, what did I get that was wrong?
So it's not necessarily misconstrued. Misconstrued. There's a lot of it that's, you'll cut a lot of it, cut out different words, make it sound a lot worse than it is. There's a lot of people here that are on welfare. A lot of people are in Section 8. A lot of people that are on a bunch of different WIC, food stamps, stuff like that.
Sure.
If you go to any low-income communities, you're going to see that. They're all going to be on the different welfares.
Okay, so they were on welfare.
Yeah, okay. No better denying that.
Okay.
But again, it's the way you say it. It's the way you twist it. The way you
not how did I twist it?
Not twist it. Again, twist is the wrong word.
I'm just trying to understand where you're coming from.
Growing up in an extremely... Dude, go.
Ah, the insufferable hug. I... See, you say I misrepresent or... And then they do that, like, come on.
I'm not saying they're all good people. Like I said, wherever you go, it's going to be the idiots. There's always going to be the assholes wherever you go.
I totally get it.
You talk about the community. It feels like you're trying to create a narrative that you did not find. You found people that are on welfare that have a lot of kids, but your headline did wrote welfare addicted Jews.
What is your frustration? I'm curious. Welfare dependent, welfare reliant, welfare addicted. What's the difference? Tell me. They need it to survive, and without it, they die. What is the difference?
It's addictive to bait click. That's an addiction.
That's an addiction?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you addicted to being a victim or what?
No.
The Goyim were grateful someone was finally bringing up their town's issues.
Montserrat, I show you. They take all my money, these people.
You think they take the money?
Good, man.
Bienvenidos a Montserrat, call me amigo. All right, see you, bro. How do you like living here as a non-Jew?
So-so. Well, I don't
what
like
you mean by so-so?
Because they're Hasidics.
Do they treat you as one of them?
Like, no,
are you guys on the same page?
No. They don't bother me because I don't deal with them.
Okay. Do you think there is large-scale welfare fraud out here?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's a lot. They get away with everything. They get the Section 8, they get everything. The free housing and, you know.
Do you think most people work out here in the Hasidic community?
No.
How do they afford their bills?
I wish I knew. I would do the same thing, too.
And what are your thoughts on the driving out here? I gotta ask you that. It's the most important question.
I don't want to talk about it.
The driving is crazy.
Okay.
Because the stop sign over there, they don't even stop. They just pass. You know, that's why so much traffic and accidents, and it's crazy.
You saw the Curious Joelle video. Why was that video good?
That video was good because I've been in East Ramapo for as long as I remember. I also went to Spring Valley High School. I've been in the school system, and we've definitely seen a lot of things, especially since our school board was majority private school owners, you know, mainly Jewish white men, and most of our school was not Jewish. And they had control over our public school system over like the past 10 years, purposely voting no on our school budget vote so that way we would fail, and we lost about 3-2 schools.
Basically, through block voting, Orthodox Jews won enough seats to control the East Ramapo School Board and went on to eliminate hundreds of public school positions like teachers and social workers while approving millions of taxpayer dollars to be spent on their children's religious private schools, ultimately gutting the public school system for the estimated 9,000 black and brown public school students while diverting that money to their private religious schools.
They give us food that's rotten and it's cold and it hurts our stomach.
I ask you, do not take our music program away. I love playing an instrument. My brother would be crushed.
And the budget cuts were so devastating that in one instance, an elementary school shut down and the majority Jewish school board then voted to sell it to a Jewish yeshiva for pennies on the dollar. Basically, the poorest, most vulnerable kids in these communities had their schools gutted and looted, all by a majority Jewish school board whose kids didn't even attend public school.
We believe that some of the decisions that have been made by the board have not been in the best interest of the public school community.
You don't like it? Find yourself another place to live.
How was your education?
My education, it was decent, but it definitely could have been better if we had the resources that we were allowed to have. But again, for the past 10, 15 years or so, people have been purposely voting no on our school budget vote, so that way we had no funding and money for our school. And, you know, that was done purposely.
And who was voting no?
Majority, the Jewish community. You, like, drive around here, you'll literally see signs saying vote no for a school budget, which I think is crazy. Luckily, we were able to get a ward system to be able to get 3 seats for the wars, but if it wasn't for that, we still would be majority white Jewish men voting for public school students that they don't care about. Yeah, and they purposely go out their way to isolate us. We're basically isolated to the point where we feel like this isn't our home.
A lot of people like to say they're ducking taxes and all that. There's truths and lies to that, but I could only tell you that I've only seen the bad part. The bad part is I've seen houses get broken down. I've seen certain spaces, buildings get destroyed for let's just say for more kosher customs, you feel me? So
okay.
I want to thank you for showing our community. I don't believe in hiding. I believe we have a tremendous amount to be proud of. And like every community, we're different. We have our goods. Other communities have their positives.
Tell me about what are some of the best things about this community then. Yeah.
Tonight at sundown, we shut our phones, we shut our cars,
okay.
We go to shul. The most beautiful part of our religion, do you understand that Orthodox Jews can be anywhere? The sun is coming down and it's the last opportunity to pray what's called mincha, which is afternoon services. They could be in the most important meetings and they'll go pray. And they could care less about anything happening. The same things with Shabbos. We come home, our families are waiting. We sing Shalom Aleichem. We welcome in the Shabbos. And you'll say back Aleichem Shalom, right?
Could they feed 10 kids
without
those programs?
I am one of 10 children.
You're driving a G-Wagon, bro.
My father was never on any welfare. I used to reuse sandwich bags to save my father a penny.
That's great for you.
You're not welcome here and you're not welcome in a lot of other places based on your video.
What about me, though?
I love you, man. You are funny.
You don't own this place, you don't own America, I can do whatever I want.
Whatever you want.
Get in your G-Wagon, get to work.
You're not trying to bring people together. You never did, you never will. It's who you are. Somebody hurt you deeply, and I'm sorry.
He was right. Someone did hurt me. Whoever told my sponsors to pull out after making one video exploring a community of welfare-addicted Jews. If you want to help me avoid ending up on welfare too, and get access to all of these videos early, and watch never-before-seen content I can't upload on YouTube, go subscribe to my Patreon at patreon.com/TylerOlivera for $5 a month. Back to the video. After speaking to frustrated Goyim in Muncie, I headed to Lakewood, New Jersey, one of the fastest-growing Orthodox Jewish communities in America, where a similar Jewish takeover has taken place, leading to the gutting of the public school system, all while turning a predominantly working-class Irish and Italian town into Little Jerusalem.
I'm trying to merge a gap to see if there's anything, any way that we could actually be one community. Because as you can tell, it's two separate communities. Look around. You will not see a non-Jewish resident here.
We got the Yiddish bus.
This is really all Jewish stores.
Sure.
Now, that pizza place, it's going to be kosher pizza, probably.
A lot of these signs are written in Yiddish, and everything's insulated. Basically, you come here to this plaza, get everything you need. Quite convenient, quite 100%. Nice.
Now, everyone can shop here, of course. We could go in and they'll be friendly, but everything's geared towards one community. But
yeah, and is it always this way? This part here, is this newly developed in the last...
Oh, yeah. So this used to be a concrete yard.
Got it.
So we're almost where we're standing. Used to have rows of concrete trucks.
Sure. It's bustling. Busy.
Now, this place was packed with Jews buying groceries for Shabbos, but keep in mind, Goyim are fully allowed to come in here and shop whenever they please.
They're very friendly. I don't think anybody's going to be nasty to us. Is a lot of the fear bullshit warranted? Definitely not. Definitely not. But I do think they don't feel comfortable enough to do it.
But it's important to understand the bigger picture here. As kosher stores move in, more Jews move here too, creating a positive feedback loop where a town rapidly becomes a Jewish hub, ultimately changing the character and identity of a town, and in Lakewood's case, overwhelming the infrastructure. Before we explore the many implications of life for Goyim as towns like Lakewood become increasingly Jewish, I want you to understand how quickly the word anti-Semitism gets weaponized in real time out here.
Tyler, it seems like you discovered that anti-Semitism is lucrative, no?
Why do you think anything that you don't like to see is anti-Semitism? What if I said that's anti-Semitic? Go.
When you talk about people accepting government money, and the overlay is a bunch of pictures of fraud, you're trying to twist it to make it look like we're doing fraud.
There were welfare programs that were defrauded by Jews. What did I say that was a lie?
There
Go.
Are welfare programs that are defrauded by
Yes,
everybody.
And I made a Minneapolis video as well. I've made several videos. Why are you being so sensitive?
What you're trying to make it sound is like anyone who accepts government money in the Jewish community is doing fraud.
That's your interpretation.
What you're doing is dangerous.
How is this dangerous? Why should you be treated like a protected group? You're asking for special privileges.
No, we're not. Right. We're asking just to be fair. And you're not being fair.
I am being fair.
This is going to make you a lot of money, and it's going to gin up a lot of hatred towards a community that's seeing a rise in anti-Semitism that hasn't been seen in years. Every single day, our lives are at risk, and this is going to lead to more.
My sponsor literally got pulled out of the video once they learned the topic of that video. I lost the sponsorship. How is that lucrative? Tell me. Do you say anti-Semitism? I say anti-Goyism. Listen, man, you got a kid in the car, I just noticed. Drive your kid home, get your groceries. This is... You're getting honked at. Let's go. It was good to meet you, though.
So you're arguing with the United States because obviously thought that we should pay for their money, so why don't you move to a different country?
Why don't you move back to Israel, then, if there's so much anti-Semitism, right? Like that guy said, why doesn't he go to Israel?
We are giving back.
In theory, welfare is a good idea. It's sweet, right? Right. At what point is it too far? Because this is a program designed to help single moms after they get divorced and keep the kid from starving.
I also disagree with you that someone doesn't have a right to have a child.
Well, I think you should have a child if you can afford it, right?
Can I interrupt real quick?
What's sure. That? Let's hear it.
Okay. You two gentlemen, I saw a video of you walking into 136 Hillside. Mm-hmm. They asked not to come back.
Amazing.
If you come back, it'll be a trespassing charge. You're trespassing.
Fair enough.
If you don't like the laws of America and you think that the governor of welfare is stupid or whatever.
I would like to change the laws. Just like you would like to create anti-Semitism protection laws that give you guys protected classes and protection against anti-Semitism, whatever that means, right? Yeah.
So
why don't you go back to Israel? That would be my question.
Because I like it here.
Same here. I like it here, but I like to make some changes. We can both agree on that, right?
So please keep on moving.
God bless you. There we go. He loves us.
I know. Make a change.
Yeah, you guys have group chats of me. You guys say, beware of this guy like I'm like Hitler or something. I'm like, come on, dude. I'm a nice guy. I talk to everyone.
Elon Musk has 12 kids. Why can't I have 12 kids?
He pays for them.
Your story point over here is that people can't have children if they can't afford them. You, as a society, are born from people who started with two people. Two. Okay? Adam and Eve. That's it. You want to go with the Big Bang, but it started at some point. There was two people. And now there's billions. And there was trillions throughout the world. So you're saying if you cannot have
what
kids...
What does that have to do with anything? All of those people didn't have welfare. Adam and Eve had Cain and Abel. Did they have a government to pay for their kids?
We live in a government that decides that if you have children, we're going to help you. And everyone does their part.
You should not have more kids than you can afford. You're arguing that I should pay for your kids.
Okay.
That's what you're arguing.
I'm not arguing that I don't pay for kids.
You are.
I'm arguing that the government said.
No, that's our money. I pay taxes. I shouldn't be funding
and
your
you
kids.
Elected Donald
should
Trump.
Not be funding your kids. You don't pay for my kids. Okay, fuck, I could do this all day. Why don't you go?
No, you should go because
you
people are, you're stopping traffic.
You should move.
Guys, let's go. Move on.
He's stopping traffic, not me.
Yeah, right. No. You should move on. Nobody wants you here. Please move out.
He was saying, Tyler, he loves me.
So
man.
We're not allowed here?
Call. You want to come to the corner?
Where? Over there? Let's go move. Let's go.
You know, I know what you did in the video and we all saw it and we still see it, but it's like...
What did I get wrong?
Nobody can cross the government. The government knows everything. The United States federal government knows everything.
Not if you're fraudulently filed.
No, it's not true. That if you feel that you live in a country that is corrupt...
I do.
Why are you still living here?
Well, everyone has options, right?
I can give you a list of 15, 20 countries off the bat that you can live in.
Yeah, regardless, let's say America is corrupt, I still want to live
corruption. You understand?
Oh, but hold on. Just because there is corruption here, which there is.
There is no.
What are you talking about? Let's not be silly here.
If there would be corruption, the FBI would love to come here first than any other location in the world.
You know about Minnesota. Come on, that's not true.
Well, I read the numbers in Minnesota.
Had, 22 people indicted for Medicaid fraud.
I read the numbers in Minnesota. And listen, you can attack them as much as you want. What they did, that's big numbers, man.
Both of your schools had money laundering. You had people, schools. Yes, both of
them. There's 45 schools here.
So BMG had people that were charged with money laundering, and so did the school for special
As of
buildings.
When? As of when?
2019, 2018, 2017. Look it up. It's all over Google.
I don't look it up. You got to show it to me.
Come on.
95% of people in this vicinity between these four or five zip codes work very hard.
Yeah.
So if you want to go and dig in a place like here, Lakewood, where the same capital you're going to find in this small percentage.
You're making me want to dig now. You're making me want to look.
You're already digging, man. You're digging already for 4 months.
I'm at Whole Foods.
What
are you talking about? 4 months?
What do you mean? Go break your head. You can keep on breaking your head.
I will break my head.
No problem. Eventually, when you break your head too much, you end up digging water. When you dig water, there's nothing under it.
You were in Jackson, which is really like a continuation of Lakewood. And by the way, I don't know if you know how I toppled the government there. They had all these anti-Semitic laws. It was crazy. I had two conversations with the White House, and eventually DOJ got involved. But anyway, so I don't know, are you already doing your Lakewood thing?
I'm here with Dr. Richard Roberts. You sold a pharmaceutical company for $800 million. You were the vice chairman of the Israel Advisory Committee for Donald Trump in 2016.
Yes.
And you reached out to me. Why did you reach out to me via email?
Because you posted that, first of all, you did your video at Curious Yoel in New York and got a lot of Orthodox Jews very, very upset.
But why did you reach out to me?
But towards the end of the video, you saw the altruism in the community and you seemed to respect that. And since I could see that you seemed to me to have a sincere desire to actually get the real facts, because, you know, if you were just bigoted against us, you wouldn't be struck or commenting on the altruism in our community.
But you casually toppled the Jackson government. A, what does that mean? B, how did you get a relationship with the White House?
I never spoke to DOJ. I did speak to people in the White House twice to tell them what was going on because...
Who in the White House?
I don't want to say.
First off, though, so you mentioned Jackson's a continuation of Lakewood. You toppled the governments. You went to the White House willy-nilly.
Called.
Okay. You're connected to the White House.
By the way, I rarely leave my house.
Which just goes to show the scale of your connections, in my opinion. I hear this voice from him. I'm like, shiver me timbers. Who am I dealing with a little bit here, right? Like, this guy's...
Little old
my,
man.
Woo-hoo. All right. Oh. He's calling. He's
And you might be wondering, why are mega-wealthy Jewish power brokers connected to Donald Trump trying to set the record straight with a lowly goy tuber like myself? This all begs the question.
Why are they so afraid of me?
I think they just don't want you to portray Lakewood in a bad way. That's really all it is.
Is there any bad to see?
There's bad to see everywhere. It's good to see everywhere.
Exactly.
Bad
good,
everywhere.
Bad, and the ugly everywhere, right?
100%. I used to live here in Lakewood when I was in 9th and 10th grade. I love Lakewood. There's so much Jewish life here. It's so easy to be Jewish, and everything's cheaper. It's amazing here.
Nice. Why did Lakewood become such a large Jewish hub?
So I think it started with BMG, Base Marriage Gavoa, and then you had a lot. You know BMG?
Yeah. Tell me more about BMG, though, right? I hear it's like the Harvard of yeshivas.
Yes, it's top notch. You just sit and learn all day. You already finished your high school phase. Most people went to Israel already, came back, and they just sit and learn all the time. It's amazing. I used to do it when I was a teenager. Lakewood's an amazing place and everything, and I think I've seen your videos all over. I just think that people get nervous and stuff like that, but you're just coming here filming the truth, and you're working just like we are. That's it. We're all in the same boat.
What should we know about Lakewood?
It's a great place. You're always welcome here.
Thank you. Yeah, we've got, it's welcoming for the most part. A few guys are fired up. We try to give them the chance to speak, have a conversation. Do a little pss.
Okay, man.
What whisper did we miss?
Nothing. I gotta go now, but I
love it. To a T. A guy gets a whisper, then he goes quiet. Would you like to say anything? How you doing? Are with this guy whispering in his brethren's ears. He comes up when they're talkative and sweet, and he goes pss, pss, pss. And then they stop talking. It is miraculous. Tyler, good to meet you. What's your name?
If I say something good, you're going to put it on?
Let's go. We just met up with the guy. He was like pissed off that we like come around here and explore. This guy's killing me, dude. The pss,
I know.
Pss. This is, he's treating you like a child.
The whole world's going to laugh so nice. I know.
This is pathetic. Yeah, he's treating you like a child. Who is this guy?
Why are you guys being told
pathetic.
What to say?
Let the man speak. Okay, does that not look like suspicious activity?
Why is there so much secrecy if you have nothing to hide?
Why would he do that? He's the head whisperer. All right, tell me what you're going to say.
How much money everyone makes in this town? Crazy amount.
What?
The police is also going to follow us, just FYI.
Going to follow us.
There's a police response, special response unit, and the cops had their internal monologue that they're going to just trail us around.
Amazing. So given that the cops are being called so often, they're just going to follow us around all day. Land of the free, home of the brave. And then I stumbled upon a kosher collision. Another example of Lakewood's infamously terrible driving. We're just showing how densely trafficked it is out here, how much traffic there is. We wanted to show some of the driving differences out here.
I don't think you're saying a fair statement. This has nothing to do with dense roads.
Oh, what does it have to do with bad driving skills or snow?
It was totally because of the snow.
Fair.
It was a miscommunication.
That's fair.
I understand what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
That's not what happened. There were actually no one on the road.
Totally fair. Okay. You need help getting pushed?
All right. Well, why are you making up a story? Because you need a documentary. There was not one car in sight by that accident.
Oh, you just hit the wall.
That's it.
You didn't hit anyone?
No.
Do you need help getting pushed?
I'm
okay, we're gonna get out of here. Oh, you're good. Different than anyone else.
You need a job.
I agree.
You need a job?
No, I mean, I'm employed. I employ a lot of people, actually.
Yeah, make money for doing nothing.
For doing nothing? Do you think moving capital and charging interest is something more valuable than I do, or what?
Well, I think you should write about...
Tell me.
...the hundreds of thousands of people that do favors for people every day.
Tell me more.
Open up a book. You never saw so many charity organizations as you have here on Lake.
I know there's so many 501c3s, it makes me wonder. Are they all charitable? Are they fiending for tax exemptions? You know, would you say this is a great place to move to for a young family, if I have a kid or a wife, a young wife? Okay. Not just the Jews.
My best friends are coming.
Okay, respect. What do we have here? We have a... Hey, it was good to meet you.
You see that?
I saw it. What is the name of that organization once again?
Hatzolah.
Okay, good to meet you, man. See you later. and we have Hatzola up here to help the community.
Yeah, this guy doesn't even know what the First Amendment is.
All right, we're busy with the
knife. Don't be a joker, bro. Come on.
Yeah.
Tyler! Yes.
Come over here. Come over here. All right. Let me. I need to get you like a second number. Son. What's your Instagram? You got Facebook?
No, I don't.
Tyler.
Look
Tyler,
at these hundreds, Tyler, hundreds. Tyler, my phone number's
Tyler,
been leaked.
You're a little child. Give me a number. I promise you.
Why are you insulting?
I'm not insulting.
You're just insulting. Come on. I'm a little child.
Just give me a number. I promise you I'll make it worth it for you.
All right. Look, give me your email. Give me your email. Give me your email.
732.
Give you my number. All right, Hans. And what was your first name?
Moshe.
We're going to do some big stuff.
You're afraid, I think.
I don't even know what's going on. Oh man, these guys are next level. I feel like I got dropped off on an alien planet. And you might be wondering, what is Hatzola? And how are they able to blast through red lights like that?
It's like a community watch, but they think they are cops. If you notice, they had their lights on and they just ran a red light.
Just like a police officer would do. No uniform. They had the Jewish uniform on,
sure.
White pants and yep, the
just
curls.
A Jew in a police car is what it looked like, but he's not a police officer, and he's blasting through the lights like he is a cop. There's a Hatzola billboard right there, Mike. And what is that for?
I mean, you're asking me questions. I don't know if I have the answers to why. Because, once again, because there's competing Hatzola. You have competing groups of these.
Of a nonprofit volunteer emergency service?
Yes. It sounds like a business, right?
But literally every organization out here is a tax-exempt 501c3. If you dig through the filing, go on ProPublica.com, you'll be surprised to realize everything basically is a tax-exempt 501c3.
Yes, because it's all through the religions.
What are your concerns? Why are we interviewing you?
So, I think I echo the concerns of many non-religious people in my area. And the biggest concern is how one group of people gets to act that is separate, segregated from everybody else.
And that group being Jews.
Yes, Jews, exactly, yeah, 100%. Yeah. But you know what, it's in my area, it's Jews. In other areas, like you obviously see the Somalian, right? In Minnesota, there's things that are happening all over the area. But yes, in my particular area, it is Jews. And it's Jews that are expanding their territory.
Okay, so my name is Jenna Galarza. I've lived in Jackson for approximately 23 years. I want to say it really started affecting me when I had my children. I have twins, they're 20 now. In assimilation perspective, you want to be able to teach your children how to talk to other children and, you know, be part of other cultures. And that was when it really started hitting me.
What hit you?
You know, let's say if I would go to a store which was closer to Lakewood, you know, I'm pushing a double stroller, I have twins. And I noticed that nobody would hold the door open for you. Yeah, at one point, a door literally got slammed on my twin stroller. And I was just like, whoa. At that point, there wasn't a lot of Orthodox living in Jackson, but they were coming to our parks a lot. And they would come to the parks, busloads, vans full, and the park would just get turned upside down. I mean, we're talking about diapers being changed anywhere and being thrown on the floor. We're talking about children literally urinating in public and absolutely not interacting with your children. So listen, at that time, if it was a minion, there was 10 men, not a big deal. But then you started to notice that it was no longer just 10 people, it was 20 people and 30 people, just completely changing the feel, the character, the comfort that you once had in your neighborhood is no longer there.
And another source of conflict is the Jewish community using residential homes as places of worship, often without approval from the Jackson Planning Board, bringing in tons of outside traffic and destroying the peaceful quality of the neighborhood.
We can have if you work in an office and there's 10 Jewish men there, you can just take a conference room for 10 minutes. We don't need like a formal like church. I've prayed in parking lots with, you know, we're going somewhere and there's get other guys together. Yeah.
But if you're living in a residential neighborhood and this house becomes like a revolving door of people coming in and praying constantly, parking their cars, I imagine there's some quality of life concerns, right? Increase in traffic and the streets being covered with cars and people all over the place or what?
I don't think that's what really happened, but okay. But maybe on like the Sabbath, but you don't have any Semites that probably say that because they don't like us, they don't want us.
This home used to be probably about 1,100 square feet. It does have a new owner.
Okay.
Apparently, they did get permits to expand on their house. Most of the permits are just, you know, kind of just given. Nothing is really followed through.
Okay.
This home will be being used for a full-out temple.
Temple?
Yeah. Well, that means that they're going to be praying in this home several times a day, probably staying over on Friday nights until Saturdays. As you could see, there's no parking lot here. This is going to affect every person that lives here. And the other problem that I have with this and that I think should be looked into is there's definitely funding going to these places.
If I was a concerned neighbor and I said, hey, they're building a temple, what the hell? What might happen next?
You would probably be called an anti-Semite. You know, they will make your life miserable. Nobody wants to live across the street to a synagogue. It is a tactic of getting people to sell their homes, and they will have buyers for them.
And you see this, and then you watch buildings get built before they're approved. They build and ask permission later, and then if they even don't get permission, they sue and they win for permission. So when you have all these things where they're creating hatred, they create the double standard, they create the animosity between two groups. And when I say they, I mean governments and people that buy off politicians to make favorable laws, because a lot of the they do is legal because they bought the politicians to make it legal.
Do you think residents in Jackson who do not want Jackson to be majority Jewish or to look, feel, and sound like Lakewood, do you think that is anti-Semitic?
Well, people have a right to freedom of speech and freedom of their opinion, even if they're going to be bigoted.
Do you think that's bigoted, though, right? Because I imagine you don't want this place to be Islamic.
Only because the radical Islamists want to kill us. Other than that, I have no problem.
And they're radical Jews, and they're radical Christians, right?
Which Orthodox Jews are radical Jews that want to hurt people?
Many people could argue there are distinct sects of Judaism that are marginalized.
I don't know, I'm just saying, you wouldn't want
Lakewood to become predominantly Muslim. Radicalism aside, though, right?
Right.
Just like Jackson residents don't want it to be predominantly Jewish.
So if a Muslim wants to buy a house here and pay way more than what the house would sell outside of our community because of the fact that the prices go up when we come in, they're free to do it. And
but I just don't think it's bigoted for you to not want it to be predominantly Muslim. Why would you? You're Jewish.
So Jackson Strong is kind of like a unofficial organization that I had started. When I saw everything turning, I just was very vocal on social media, and I decided to organize. Certain people really wanted to get involved. There were a few of us that, you know, we would have letter writing campaigns, making a lot of calls to county officials, local officials, and state officials, trying to find out what ordinances could be created, what we could do to help prevent a full-out turnover. A sign would say, Jackson Strong, don't sell, meaning, if a new neighbor moves in next to you, don't run, don't sell. Why would you move? Stay strong, right?
Would they sell?
They would sell because it just got too much. And anytime you would say anything about it, you were anti-Semitic. I mean, there were Facebook pages created just to slander me. You know, they would manipulate pictures of me. They would put, you know, Russian hats on me, a Hitler mustache. You know, these were things that were even coming out of Israel. At one point, there was a post where, you know, somebody had said that, you know, she needs to have an ice pick in her eye. You know, and something like that. I did go to the prosecutor's office, and my Jackson Strong page was taken down for no good reason at all. It was just taken down. There was a page, Rise Up Ocean County, which was a pretty important part of everything that was happening. That page was taken down also. However, it was hijacked. So when our page was taken down, just for stating the facts, when you're bringing out the Kaporis incidents, when they're cutting the necks of the chickens and blood is pouring through the streets, and then you're talking about that and you're posting videos, and all of a sudden your Facebook page gets taken down, only to be replaced with a complete anti-Goyim harassment page. And you could report that page over and over, and you could have a campaign of people reporting that page. Yet that page remained up.
Do you want Lakewood to be predominantly Muslim? Just you personally?
No.
And why?
Because it's a...
Let's say they don't want to kill you.
I'm fine with people moving in, but to have Jewish schools, we have to have a critical mass of Jews here to support Jewish schools. To have kosher grocery stores, supermarkets, we have to have a critical mass of Orthodox Jews here to support kosher supermarkets, by the way.
So using that logic, why would anyone in Jackson want Jackson to have more and more Jews move? If you're arguing there needs to be a critical mass for...
How are we infringing on their right, on their ability to do whatever they want?
I'm not saying you are, but why would they want that? Why would it be bigoted?
They don't have to want or not want. If somebody's selling their house to an Orthodox Jew, the Orthodox Jew is allowed to buy the house.
Sure, but I'm talking about the people who are not selling their houses to Orthodox Jews.
Then they have the right to do that.
Of course, but that doesn't make them a bigot to not want it. It doesn't mean they're hateful. It doesn't mean they hate you.
What is it, their lifestyle, that we're going to change?
All right, so we could start with the traffic. Infrastructure-wise, they're just throwing up these ginormous structures. They tend to have basement apartments also, so they'll rent those out. Right now, there is probably upwards 2,000 to 3,000 homes that have been bought and are just being rented out right now by the Orthodox community that they will move in when they're ready to move into them. There's been a problem with light pollution. Now we're seeing just LED lights everywhere. You know, there's a lot of issues. And then let's just talk about the thing that breaks my heart more than anything, which is the school system. So what's happening is our Board of Education is going bankrupt. Between the formula and the state giving all of the money to the poorer communities, which has been proven to not work, we're losing that kind of funding, but we're being depleted from the busing. We are required by state law to provide busing to all of the private school students. Why are we paying for busing for schools that are not teaching a standard curriculum? If 80% or 90% of their curriculum is religious studies, why are the taxpayers paying for that busing? And then to add insult to injury, we have recently sold two of our schools, and they have been bought by the Orthodox community.
Who are you, Chris?
I am a councilman in Jackson, New Jersey.
And what are we in front of right now?
We're in front of the former Sylvia Rosenauer School. The school was unfortunately shut down due to budget issues in Jackson. It was purchased by a private school.
Okay, so this is a private Jewish-only school right now?
Yes. As the state cuts our funding, we continue spending more and more public money on private schools, and it's kind of creating the perfect storm that's destroying our public education system.
So all of the school systems are completely strained by the influence of the Jewish non-students. They don't even use the public school system, but yet it costs the public school system a lot of money.
We Orthodox Jews, we pay the full school taxes to support the public schools and for busing. And the only thing that we get to use is busing.
You take Jackson Township, their pass-through budget was nothing in like 2017. What pass-through laws are, the federal state laws, where it says that the school system has to pay for the busing of private school students. The more people that moved into Jackson, they go to school in Lakewood. So no, Jackson has to bus their kids to Lakewood. Now they don't bus non-Jewish students. They have segregated busing. So you have girls bus, boys bus. It costs the towns millions and millions of dollars. While at the same time, it decreases the enrollment that they have. So when the enrollment decreased, couple that with a really shit school funding formula in New Jersey,
yep,
the towns spend way more money and they get way less in return.
And now in a modern day and time, who thinks it's okay to separate boys and girls, not allowing them to be together, not allowing them to go to school together, be on the same bus? And because of a religious practice, you're forcing the public to pay extra money for things like that.
We have to send our children to religious schools because of the values that are taught in the secular schools. If there are population changes, schools consolidate. We're not the first place that that's happened, nor the last place.
The Jewish community is extremely racist. Could you imagine if I said that my children could not play with somebody's children because they were black? What a different conversation we would be having. Why is it okay?
We only eat kosher food. If our kids play in a non-religious Jew's home, they might be given non-kosher food to eat. Also, we generally don't have televisions in our home and don't want to bring the secular values of homosexuality, of adultery, theft, of cursing, and go on and on. We don't want to bring this into our society. Orthodox Jews are paying full property tax, which is how the schools are funded, and we don't get the benefit of the school building, the school teachers. So we have to also pay for our private education. So they're getting our money and we're getting nothing for it.
Your funding is going to go down. You're going to have to make cuts. You're going to have to keep closing schools. They just set down another big school, which is going to be converted into, it might be one of the world's largest yeshivas right here in town. Let's be real. New Jersey State is essentially a criminal organization because everything they do is for some type of special interest, for somebody to benefit somehow.
They take a house, they get that house built for a public mikveh only for Jewish people, right? So they say it's for the public, but it's not. It's just for a select private group of people. The house is now a 501c religious organization, so it doesn't pay taxes, so the town loses the tax money.
Yep.
And then, like in this case, that mikveh was being built before it was even approved, so everyone sees that.
This is going to be a mikveh, which is a religious bathhouse.
Where women get purified.
Correct.
After their periods?
Yes, and it prepares them for their childbearing time.
Sex.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's little things like this. When they get in an area, they put what they need, their special needs. It doesn't benefit the community, anything that they put. It benefits only them.
So this is a house of worship, a shul. This has been operating now probably for about 6 or 7 years. This is one of the ones that we first realized was non-owner occupied. Now,
meaning
that you have a better chance of not having issues if you live in the home and you have have prayer. But you know, nobody was living in this home.
Damn.
You know, generally you should have to get the proper permits and everything. But you know, our town has been very accommodating for bad behavior. As you could see, they did install a light for them here so they could safely pull in and out and cross the street.
And that's a symptom of the increased traffic into this location, right? A light just for this house.
Correct. Just for this is zone residential.
As I told you, we have to be together for schools, for synagogues, for kosher food. So you're gonna start buying the next block over. That happens to be Jackson and Tom's River. Now it's going into Howell. Because you know, we're having lots of children, and thank God we're having lots of children. Thank God almost all of them stay religious, get married early, and they're having children, and the community is just growing and growing. So in Jackson, they passed regulations against Orthodox Jews. And only that, they were harassing us. Let me give you an example. We pray 3 times a day, morning, afternoon, and evening. So Jackson, they were very unprofessional, very amateurish. So they had their code enforcement department counting the number of Jews on the street, and they left the emails on their Jackson Township email system. So when litigation ensued, it came out in discovery. So they say, I see three men wearing the garb, carrying Bibles, going into this house. And the inspectors would actually go onto the property and peer into the window to see if we were praying.
Okay, so the house was zoned residentially, and it is being used as a house of worship?
No, you could just go in there. The guy owns the house. He can just go in there and pray. We do it all the time. Just like, you know, when I have the Super Bowl here, I have a 50 people here.
In contrast to the Super Bowl, how often does this congregation happen per year? Is it every week?
Oh, no. We pray 3 times a day. No. So
3 times a day versus once a year, though, right? That's an important distinction.
Oh, but every week they get up during football season, people over watching football, and they get 30 people in the house watching football, right? Anybody in America can do that, and they're not cited for a violation.
You don't think they would have been treated the same if it were a mosque or a church?
There are Christian groups that they were not harassed like we were.
So you guys were singled out, in your opinion?
Yeah, oh, for sure.
What happened in Jackson? What anti-Semitic laws is he referring to in his opinion?
So it's everybody is reacting in their own way, zoning law-wise, to try to fight what they do. And what that is like buying corner lots that are unbuildable, using the RLUIPA laws to build on them. So what happened was there was a little bit of a rush to stop Lakewood. I would say about 2010-ish, where you saw different towns making different zoning laws. Brick did its own little thing, tightened up zoning laws in certain areas, and they did it in a way where it wasn't pointing out one religion. Jackson kind of did it in a way where they did point out one religion, but—
What does that mean?
So it's like they tried stopping the shoals in the middle of the houses, but what they did was they worded it and they said things as they were doing, like the people on the boards were saying stupid shit during the discussion that were anti-Semitic, basically to give them fuel to come in and say, you guys are making anti-Semitic laws, okay? It wasn't necessarily what they were trying to do, is how they were trying to do it. Now the council president up there, Mordecai Bernstein, who was a part of it, you have that guy, Richie Roberts. They got the DOJ to do an investigation. They sued under RLUIPA, and they had the DOJ do an investigation into him. They hammered Jackson. So now it's like Jackson is castrated and cannot even fight it anymore because they got told by the federal government and the state government, they get to do whatever the hell they want. So now that's why you're seeing the synagogues going up in single family or multiple family, big houses, $800,000, $900,000 houses. We lost a lawsuit on this property that was too small of a property, unbuildable lot. The people that came out to that meeting made this type of comment. This was deemed anti-Semitic. This is a family neighborhood. We like to keep it a family neighborhood. Anti-Semitic. This is what the judge quote cited as anti-Semitic. Are you going to be renting this house or are you going to be living in it? Anti-Semitic. What type of family would want to live on this type of lot? Anti-Semitic. That's how petty it gets.
beginning 10 years ago, they called you an anti-Semite for outlining all of these points. Were you wrong?
I was right. There are plenty of county roads in Jackson. Nobody's saying that you cannot put your house of worship on those county roads where you could put a proper parking lot and you could have proper traffic. So why are we dealing with houses of worship within walking distance that could be on main roads? Air roofs are up. Why instead are we putting them smack in the middle of residential areas? Because it's another way to get people out of there. It's another way to create a complete religious enclave.
And this all begs the question, does the Jewish community living in peace come at a direct cost of the non-Jews also trying to live in peace? Can the two groups get along? I toured a mostly all-Jew neighborhood in Lakewood to understand Jennifer's frustration a bit more and what she sees as Jackson's seemingly unavoidable future.
Where are we at, Jenna?
We are in Westgate, aka Kosher West, aka the Little Tykes Graveyard.
I'm noticing lots of toys in the lawn, car seat that may not be getting used, tons of minivans, many children, many families, full trash cans, abandoned vehicles, a lot going on here.
Correct. This is on the border of Jackson. And unfortunately, I see this as being Jackson's future if we don't get a hold of things.
Let's go for a walk. How large are the families out here?
Again, you know, anywhere from 6 to 12 children.
This is all Orthodox Jews for the most part?
This is predominantly probably 99.9% religious.
Could I buy a home here?
I don't believe you could.
Obviously, legally, according to the Fair Housing Act, it's illegal for them to discriminate against me, but practically speaking, could I buy a home?
No, no. Okay. This community is allowed to police themselves. You know, they are allowed to do what they want to do. Rules don't apply. Yeah, the trash cans. We have a problem now in Jackson with rats, which we've never had before. It's definitely a concern. It's a complete religious enclave, yes. Sure.
This bus right here is paid for by a Lakewood taxpayer, correct?
Correct.
We're walking. We're trying to walk. You got to... Yes, yes. Call the cops.
Here, it's strictly about religion. Nothing else. All these men going to yeshiva until they're 35 years old, yep. They're not producing college students. They're not producing people that are going to go and benefit the greater good of our society.
It's sort of an investment in a insulated one-way economy.
Correct. Without Hello. Anybody contributing.
How are you? We're filming a little documentary. Yeah, for YouTube. Would you like to say hi?
I actually recognize your face.
I'm infamous. That's me.
Yes.
It's good to meet you. How are you?
I actually can't shake hands.
I see.
I'm sorry.
No worries. It's good to meet you. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're just walking around talking.
Cool. Well, I hope it's interesting.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Also, like, not everybody's the same. Yeah.
This is true. I'm noticing a strong spectrum here of even Orthodoxy, right?
Yeah. Within the Orthodox.
So I got to say, very refreshing.
Sweet woman.
Yeah.
Said hi. Good luck.
You know, that's
that
the funny
nice.
Thing.
That was nice. Yeah.
That's the funny thing about it. Yeah. I mean, a lot of the women are very nice and very welcoming.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can have a conversation with them. But at the end of the day, they can't be your friend.
No parking. Look at that.
They don't want to live amongst us. They don't want to live with us. They just want to live and exist and not have us be part of their lives. I mean, we've had people stand up at our council meeting in Jackson and say, I'm sorry, we cannot let our children play with your children.
For the Orthodox community, the reason that we choose sometimes to live with ourselves is because we are, as a culture, very careful with the influences our children have. My children don't know about, they don't have any access to YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, any of these things. And part of that safety is that after school, all of us as neighbors share those same values and rules and restrictions.
It's about unity. It's about assimilation. It's about, you know, the American culture, and that's what we're losing.
Can the Jews and the Gentiles get along?
Absolutely. We don't have...
You're calling for unity.
Absolutely. I also understand that this is their way of thinking. This is how they are trained. This is how they were brought up.
We're happy for them to stay. We don't, like, push them out. We had a neighbor Wheeler right across the street over one house. We were sorry to see them go. Is it bad that you have a house that's worth $300,000 and someone says, I really want to live in this neighborhood, I'll give you $600,000 for it?
I think it's great if you're trying to sell your house.
Okay, and if he doesn't have to. Yeah. Like this woman, she didn't have to sell her house.
Yeah, I think there's an argument in some instances
of people who have claimed that they've been pressured, harassed, or intimidated to sell their house.
So it's not intimidation. It only could be that too many people are knocking on their door asking, do you want to sell your house?
Okay, so well, there's blockbusting. Okay. You know, that's when they approach you to sell your house, which is a level of harassment. There's intimidation telling you that, you know, your decorations are not Yiddish, or approaching you and asking you, when are you moving? You know, you could have a child who's 4 or 5 years old being your neighbor, and you could be very nice to that child, and one day they will just come out and say to you, when are you leaving? Well, that's learned behavior. They're sure hearing that, right?
This rows of housing, you saw it yesterday. 4, 5, 6 cars per place, tight, super tight houses.
The few people that I've spoken to, a lot of it stems from fear and their loss of their way of life, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think it stems from hatred from what I've heard.
So some hated and some feared a change in their in their neighborhood. These people are moving in that don't look like them, that, you know, seem different, and I can understand it, but there are laws about discrimination, and you know, people bought homes legally because the non-Jews that lived there made a lot of money off the Jews in selling the home.
Well, look at, you know, Little Italy, and look at Chinatown in New York, and how come it was okay for them to live amongst themselves? The key there is assimilation. Their children went to public schools. They worked in the public sector. They invited anybody who wanted to come into their community. They provided for them in their community. Huge difference there. This is not a welcoming community. This is not somebody who's saying, we're going to build this shawl. Come on in. We want to teach you a little bit about our religion and our beliefs, but we want to involve you in it. And this has been a topic that I have brought up at several council meetings when there have been times when there's been a project or something that they wanted to approve, and we were trying to kind of, you know, bring it to people's attention that this project is not going to benefit the community as a greater good. The Jewish community is extremely racist, and I would go as far to say as the Jackson government should be ashamed of themselves.
Beautiful traffic in under here. What?
Welcome.
Was that a strategic honk?
I think so.
I'm not sure what the strategy there was. Who's he honking at now? Gotta say hi. Hello. All right, so you're just honking. I'm not sure what the strategy is. How are you? I came down and waved and said hi. We're gonna see how long he's just gonna remain honking. How are you doing? He's gonna break his horn. This guy does have a cheeky sense of humor, which I can appreciate. That honk was promised to him. Zoom in on his face. I think I'm gonna sue. His kids in there is doing that? What? Man, I think this guy actually might be mentally challenged, so we're going to give him a break. So, listen, we can talk all the niceties we want. There is hostility.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? That's not going to happen walking down our streets.
But as we were trying to escape and rest our ears from the Jews honking at us from all directions, I spotted these dudes tracking us. Turns out I had summoned the Shamrim Police, the Jewish community's internal police force that receives both federal funding and township funding.
You just want to be interviewed?
No.
Okay, respect. Are we in the heart of Lakewood right
what
now?
What do you know for?
I'm just curious. All right, he's pushing it. What's up?
What interview?
You want to do an interview?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think it was nice how you portrayed the Jewish people and...
What are we talking about? What's the context real quick?
What's the context?
Are we talking about Curious Joel?
Yes. I just don't think it was... you were trying to portray. I think you just came in with a more of what you had a picture in your head trying.
What do you think I got wrong? What do you think was misrepresented? Like, what's? I'm just trying to learn. What do you actually think I got wrong about it?
I just think there was agenda.
You gotta elaborate a little bit though, you know?
What was the front of the YouTube page posted as? What was the
Inside the New York town invaded by welfare addicted Jews.
Thank you. You answered the question.
Was I wrong though?
I actually think it's not true, but again, you'd say whatever you want. It's not welfare addicted. This is what it is.
Welfare reliance, welfare dependent. What would
be
a better?
Programs don't have it.
All right. What are you arguing?
that I have an obligation as a taxpayer to fund you and how many kids you want to have. If you want to have 30 kids, that's just how it is.
I'm arguing that if the law is set up to have certain criteria for people and it's according to children, then people who qualify for it, legally qualify for it, 100%. With no fraud at all, are entitled to get it.
And you'll give me the credit of acknowledging I never said that was fraudulent.
Yes, that's right.
I think it's exploitative by nature, though. Like, yeah, why don't you throw all your money at them and help sustain their lifestyle? Why do I have to take a cut of my paycheck to go towards Curious Shoel's insulated Hasidic Jewish community that has nothing to do with me? I'll never get anything out of. There's zero upside for them to exist for me.
Anyways, we have the government makes criteria for getting financial aid. And if someone qualifies for that criteria, I'm not sure why when the Jew does it, you're calling it exploitive or taking advantage, but you don't say that to all the other people and populaces that don't have it.
Well, I've never seen anything of this scale to where the families are this large and it's sort of baked into their strategy of childhood.
So are you against having children, having a lot of children?
I'm pro-children. That's great. I think you should be able to afford it. And I want to make an important distinction between the Amish, let's say, and the Hasidic Jews in Curious Shoel. You tell me what's the difference.
Oh, there's tons of differences.
Most importantly, as it relates to finance, though, the Amish pay for themselves. They're self-sustaining. They're not reliant on welfare programs funded by the taxpayer.
I think I heard in a video there's, 40,000 people in Curious Shoel? 44,000. And you spoke to 20 people are out on the street.
Sure, perhaps an insufficient sample size.
Who are not the ones working, because if they're working, they wouldn't have been on the street. They'd be working.
Sure, but it belies a pretty interesting question, right? How do they afford to raise such large families? How do they afford to study full-time?
First, I have to bifurcate your question. Okay. There's two groups. One is the ones who are learning full time, and the others are the ones that are working. For Hasidim, almost all of them go out to work. However, when they first get married, for the first 2 or 3 years, they'll learn Torah full time. The wife will work. They don't have any children yet. Or maybe they have one kid or two children. And then they'll get help from their family. And if their income qualifies, which it probably does, for financial aid, they'll get financial aid.
Okay, we got this guy following us. We're playing games now. We got the security van rolling on us as we roll on them. We got 1, 2, 3 police. Surely there's no conflict of interest we're about to experience. I wonder what law they're going to claim I violated. How you doing? My name's Tyler. How are you?
Josh, man.
Good to meet you, Josh.
What's going on?
I don't know. We're just getting stalked.
Yeah?
Low key, yeah.
You look familiar, though.
My name's Tyler Oliveira. We're filming a little YouTube video. That's me, yeah.
So what are you filming out here?
Documentary on Lakewood, surrounding towns. Am I being detained? Is there a probable cause for this interaction? What's going on?
We just got a concern saying that you're walking up to people asking them questions, stuff like that.
Luckily, this is America, and that is the First Amendment, right? It's beautiful, and I get you're
call,
doing your
they
job.
They call us, you gotta come out here, right? See what you guys are doing, like a documentary?
Exactly, just a little documentary. Right now. Hey, how you guys doing? You guys want to say what's up?
What's up?
Okay, well, it's good to meet you guys. I know you guys got more important things to do,
do your thing, man.
Good to meet you guys. Nice to meet you. Good to meet you. Thanks for keeping everyone safe. Thank you.
I'm part of Lake Charmer, which is public safety.
Yeah.
And we got multiple calls. Same reason why PD got calls.
Okay.
So that's it. We're just gonna follow you around. We're gonna let everybody know that they don't have to talk to you.
With the Shamrim police on our back, it felt like we were being policed by a secondary form of law enforcement that seemed to exclusively defend the interests of the Jewish community. And speaking of double standards, let's talk about politics.
I firmly believe that the tactics within this community, I would liken it to organized crime. We have an ultra-Orthodox person as our council president. You know, you can't think that there's not going to be things happening and rules and laws created to make his community stronger and better.
When do you eventually become involved in Jackson politics, let's say? You live in Lakewood, you don't even live in Jackson. Why do you even get involved?
What happened was this act of discrimination against the Orthodox Jews in Jackson was going on for about a year. And I had people calling me from Jackson with anonymous numbers, Orthodox Jews, because they were afraid for their safety. We're generally not violent people. If we have to defend ourselves, we will. And I think a substantial number of people in Lakewood now own guns.
Why?
Why?
They became fearful.
Oh, yes, because the rise of anti-Semitism and the attacks on Jews. After about a year of them calling me, I really couldn't take it anymore. They're suffering.
Why did you topple the government?
I told you
why.
How
did you do it with ease?
Oh, it was not with ease. It was a tremendous amount of work. Okay. Agent in Manhattan, trying to get stories out to the press. And then I met with this political group, like I said, who ran senatorial campaigns. We got the We got the cell phone numbers of all the people in Jackson, and we planned a text. We started a website called Families for JacksonJustice.org. By the way, I've since abandoned the website. Andy Semites took it over. It's like when the Republican Club, which was vehemently anti-Semitic and run by the mayor of Jackson, had a U.S. Senate candidate, Republican candidate, there for their meeting, I had spies inside the organization, non-Jews, who were telling me what was going on. So the Republican Club, they had their senatorial candidate about to speak. We then texted to everyone in Jackson 5 minutes before he spoke. Here's this new website exposing the religious discrimination. I had it populated with all kinds of information, statements. The mayor of Jackson had been voice recorded, not by me, but it was sent to me, where he was asked by the chairman of the Ocean County Republican Party, if these were churches, would we be opposing them? He said, absolutely not. It was discrimination against Jews. They were going crazy with all the things I was doing,
yeah,
putting pressure on them. There was fighting going on among the elected political people. Resignations had started. And then I put out the ad on Fox News.
New developments in that deadly attack in New Jersey. Surveillance video shows they clearly targeted that Jewish market.
There's a synagogue located next door.
There is no question that this is a hate crime.
Anti-Semitism is on the rise, and now it's coming from Jackson Township's government. Elected officials in Jackson have passed ordinances targeting Orthodox Jewish families. Exposed township emails show officials surveilling religious Jewish families praying in their homes. They even took revenge on a decorated veteran who testified against their anti-Semitism. Jackson officials are intimidating Jewish families, and they admit it.
If these were charges, would we be fighting? Absolutely not.
Shameful. This isn't America.
It's put on the cable network provider for that area. In the meantime, I had two different calls with the White House. I know you want to ask me 1,000 questions. I will answer nothing more than that.
Okay, sorry. Why?
Because.
And to be fair, yeah, the mayor's statement seems pretty damning, right? Him saying, I wouldn't do this.
Right. And
that's
you heard
fair.
That. You heard that
yeah,
on the,
I've
on,
heard
the
that. That's
on,
fair.
The, on the commercial. Yeah. By the way,
it seems discriminatory. In
by
nature,
the way, he's one of my best friends now.
Life's but, long.
Because
yeah.
Here's what happened.
Yeah.
More Orthodox Jews kept moving in because of the financial and demographic forces I told you about. And we started to become a larger part of the electorate. And he was coming up for re-election as mayor. And he asked someone if he could come here and apologize to me. And he came here and he said when he signed the resolution, those resolutions, he knew it was a wrong thing to do. But he said he was under so much pressure from all the political types in Jackson and the people who have constituencies, and they were yelling at me. So he just signed it. And he wants to tell me now that he regrets doing it and he's going to work to get rid of those regulations. Then that result was the Orthodox Jewish community embraced him. And we supported him. And I became the largest donor to his reelection campaign. It wasn't a million.
He becomes an ally to the Orthodox Jewish community.
He becomes not bigoted against us.
It's the Jewish vote. It's this is another form of corruption. Imagine if I said, hey, I'm going to give you this amount of money and you do this. Okay, you can't do that. But if I could say, hey, I'm going to deliver you 50,000 votes that are all going to vote for you. So take Jack Cittarelli in New Jersey. They were bragging that all of the Vlads got together, all the Jewish Vlads got together, and were voting for Jack Cittarelli, and they did so with like 97%. That voting block doing that now says, like, what they do is they take that and say, hey, we got all these votes, and we're going to all vote for you, but what are you going to do for us? And if you don't vote with us, we're going to take all of these votes, and we're going to put our support behind somebody else. It's what they tried doing to Chris Pollack. I know, because I spoke to the dude who basically said it. They said it very arrogantly, where it was like, oh, we have 6,500 Jewish votes in Jackson. He is not winning. That's what they said to me.
Yeah, he won.
And he didn't just win. He won by a landslide, because a lot of people showed up for him.
Okay. And by people, we're talking non-Jewish voters?
Even Jewish voters. He got over 20% of the Jewish vote, Chris Pollack. Yeah, 100%. Okay.
Yep. So the tides are shifting in Jackson, perhaps.
I think there's a group of people that on both sides that don't like what certain groups are doing. Remember, there's a lot of really good Jewish people that look really bad by these actions. The main comment that comes through my feed, no matter what it's about, Jackson, Brick, whatever, this town is finished. It's over. I don't know if you can stop them. And I'm not saying you can, but That doesn't mean you don't fight it. That doesn't mean you don't do what you can to do it. And you had people like Chris Pollack that he said, I'm gonna do it the way of politics.
Okay, so Chris, I see these homes being built. Why are the locals so opposed to these houses being built? It seems still pretty peaceful out here. What's going on? What changes have you noticed?
Well, it's becoming rapid changes and rapid development. You're gonna be seeing a heavy, heavy increase in the population. And I don't know if our town is suited to handle it. Unfortunately, I've heard from several people that some developments only particularly want one group in there. It's people have gone in there and asked, hey, you know, I'm interested in these homes. Some of them have been told it's not for them. What does that mean?
What does that mean?
It seems like it's only for one group in one community. And
who is that group?
It seems like it's only for the Jewish community. I'm going to be honest. But when you create a community, they have some of them that are adding shuls into it, essentially synagogues into it. They're fitting the houses to fit this very specific needs of one community. Do you think anybody other than that community is going to move into there?
They technically cannot discriminate against a non-Jew purchasing a home, right?
No, you cannot discriminate against anybody buying a home.
But they could just say, hey, sorry, you know, we sold it to someone else.
Yes, that's they can. Legal. I've heard people say, oh, we'll put you on the waiting list, because that's something that's going on.
LLCs are outbidding people trying to buy single-family homes.
Correct.
But you have a group of people that call themselves God's people. You are a Semite supremacist. You are a white Jewish supremacist because they're classified white. They don't want to live as a community with us. I think when I say they, again, I don't mean all of them. I think I mean the far majority of them. I think they have their tight-knit community. I think their community lives completely separate than everybody else. They eat differently. They enjoy different things. Yes, we might drink, but everything is set in a different way.
As you ran for city council, did the rabbinical order try to buy you off?
I don't really have any relationship with the rabbis, but I have been taking a meeting with people who said they were liaisons to the rabbis. They went around touting how many votes they controlled. They told me pretty much straight out that they control certain politicians in town. And if I cater to their community, I might have access to the block vote.
Who did they say they control?
They said they control our mayor and our council president.
After a year, I couldn't bear it anymore. So I got involved. I hired a political campaign group out of Washington, D.C. that does political campaigns for Republican senators. I think they did Ted Cruz. And I wrote a letter to the mayor of Jackson telling him all the things I was going to do if they wouldn't reverse these discriminatory laws. In the meantime, there's another Jewish group called the Aguda that had a lawsuit against Jackson based on RLUIPA. That's a Religious Land Use Institutionalized Persons Act. And it says that the municipality, it's a law, federal law, municipality is not allowed to discriminate based upon religion. And in their lawsuit, then showed all the emails from Jackson, all the things they were doing, conspiring against and executing to try to make life miserable for Orthodox Jews there.
But you went to work, and what happened next?
I went to Washington. I met with Ronna McDaniel, who was the head of the Republican National Committee. And the Speaker of the House at the time was Kevin McCarthy. He was actually in their conference room. So I met with both of them, showed them what was going on. They were shocked.
I think there's a lot to learn from the community. That's why I liked what we did yesterday. Their tactics benefit them. They are a solitary mass. They actually are a community. You can't deny it. They are not fighting over Trump or Biden. They're not fighting over left or right. They're not fighting over masked or unmasked.
Us versus the world.
It's antimatter, right? It's like everyone in our towns, we're fighting against antimatter. We're not focused on what actually matters. We're not picking each other up. We're not one community. And I'm not talking about communism or any of that shit.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about caring about the person. They hitchhike. They
what
trust.
Other world will you see hitchhiking in America in 2026?
Nonstop, yeah.
That's a testament to how high-trusting they all are.
So there's something to be said about that. And there's a lot. I would love to see our kids playing again off of, you know, getting out on bikes and getting out playing basketball and football and all of those things. I would love to see that. I'd love to see us act a little bit more like that.
We need to fight back against the state. We've had large lawsuits against us because they tried to keep out this problem. We've had the Department of Justice come down on us. Billionaires connected to the president involved in all this. What's happening in this little town in Jersey is bigger than people think.
And what's happening here in Jackson, will that become a problem in other small towns?
It's already a problem in all the surrounding towns.
Is the cop gonna go?
Okay. Get a shot of the cop.
We got the corrupt police pulling us over for what? We'll find out. We may be in a corrupt hellhole.
Double cop car.
We're getting pulled over. We got double police, potentially nothing better to do. Let's find out. We weren't speeding. We weren't violating the law from the best of my understanding.
Do you have your driver's license registration?
What am I being pulled over for?
I'll tell you that soon.
Is there probable cause?
Yes, there is. We got a call on our phones.
For
a suspicious person.
What's suspicious about me?
With video cameras.
There's nothing suspicious about expressing our First Amendment right.
No, you're good.
So what am I being pulled over for?
We got a call. Just so you know, you're being audio and visual recorded.
Sure, okay? Likewise.
So we got a call from dispatch.
Sure.
Saying there's a vehicle.
Okay.
With two men in it, videotaping in front of a school. When we get a call for that, that's our probable cause to stop you because they described your vehicle. So I'm asking you.
What's illegal about the fact that we're recording?
There's nothing illegal about it.
Sure.
I don't care that you're recording because I'm recording too. I just don't know who you are. And I don't. But for my safety, I want you back in the car.
Well.
Okay. So back to me talking to you.
My name's Tyler, by the way.
Jonathan Basile. Yeah. Nice to meet you, sir.
Good to meet you, yeah.
I'm stopping you. Can I have your credentials, please?
Do I have an obligation to self-identify right now?
I need you to identify yourself on this stop.
I totally get where you're coming from.
Yeah,
We're filming
a lawful stop because
piece.
They described your vehicle to a T.
It doesn't matter.
Totally get it. Okay. I'm just trying to figure out if there's actual...
Can I just ask you a question?
Yeah. I can tell you what we're up to if that's...
I just want to know who you are.
Yeah, my name's Tyler.
Oh, very good. My name's Jonathan. Can I explain that
to you?
Yeah,
good to meet you.
I stopped you.
Totally get it. Yeah, we're just talking about the changes in the town here.
Yeah.
We went to that school specifically because it shut
down. You see what I'm saying? Like when you have a camera in front of a school with kids.
I mean, if
my kids go to that school, I wouldn't want my kids to be video recorded.
Sure, we didn't enter the school. We were on the sidewalk.
It doesn't matter if you're in a certain distance of a school.
Okay. All right, sure. You can have it.
And just do me a favor. Keep your hands on the steering wheel when you do so. Thank you so
hands
much.
On the steering wheel.
Yeah, I just don't know what's in the car. Like I said, I don't know
Come
who you
on.
Are. I don't know who you are.
That seems a little extra.
No, that's how
That's
I
definitely extra, but you can have it. There you
Thank
go.
Thank you so much. I'm not saying I'm giving you a ticket or
sure.
anything like that. I'm just identifying.
Yeah, you got the badge, man. Yeah, do your thing.
No, it has nothing to do with having the badge or anything
like
that.
Stay near the car, okay? Don't come near us.
Is this slightly excessive?
It's absolutely excessive.
It seems like a bully tactic.
Run around. Yeah, well, I don't know who placed that phone call.
How you doing, man?
Hey, what's up?
How are you?
How we doing?
Doing good, getting pulled over. You know what we're up against? Small town police department, small town politics, lots of money.
All right, so apparently the reason why these cops came out of thin air is because who just got called?
Well, we're gonna find out. The council president just called me.
So who is Morty Bernstein?
He is the council president in Jackson, New Jersey, and the most powerful man in the town.
Does he have the police in his pocket?
I don't think he has the police in his pocket at all, but the man does have an incredible amount of power. He's involved in political action committees with very rich and powerful developers, a lot of political connections.
Who are we messing with here right now, Chris? Was this a mistake? Is this video a mistake, man?
I'm going to be honest. The powers out here are pretty immense. Like I said, it goes up. You have billionaires from Lakewood being involved in what's going on in Jackson. People connected to the President of the United States.
If we zoom out, where does this all end?
Right now, it's gone to every town on the outskirts of Lakewood. They're buying up everything. Even if they're not occupying things are being bought up. I always say it's a real life game of Monopoly. So it's gone into Brick, and it's gone into Howell, and it's gone into Jackson and Toms River. Now it's going into Manchester. There are large portions of property being bought in South Jersey. We cannot keep up with this.
How do you combat a group of people chosen by God practicing rampant ethno-nepotism?
Here's a problem, bro. One Jewish dude in Manchester said to me this: you guys will never come together because you have no shared sense of purpose. And that hit me because he was fucking right. Jews have a shared sense of purpose in what their outcome is going to be. And that's to expand the religion, that's expand their people. We don't have a shared sense of purpose. We're too busy arguing with each other. We're too busy talking Trump. We're too busy yelling about ICE. We're too busy focusing on Epstein's list. We don't have a shared sense of what is America and what are we trying to accomplish together. Americans don't have a shared sense of purpose about America. Jews have a shared sense of purpose in what their outcome is going to be. The only way that you're going to stop it, and the only way you can fight back about it, is by getting people that have a shared sense of purpose in the numbers that matter. Getting enough people with their eyes open to say, holy shit, something has to be done here. You have to get rid of the Arlupa laws. I don't think it's ever been challenged by the Supreme Court. It has to be taken to the Supreme Court. I think it violates the Constitution. You have to fight fire with bigger fire. And the sad part about it is they have the biggest fires.